Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Red Chair Dialogues. We haven't done one of these in a while. Always been too busy.
Three, 4 weeks.
And only Adam shows up and I'm too busy to talk, so.
Yeah.
Never quite works out. So we're doing a rare Friday late afternoon one. We'll get hopefully about a half hour in here before it's time to sneak out. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
I'm Adam Russell.
I'm Christopher Chance Brown, showing up for whatever reason, I suppose.
He had nothing better to do and said, I want to talk comics.
That's why I show up.
That's
fantastic. You never leave.
Yeah, that's
you got
true.
This job, that's with air quotes.
Oh, it's up the road, so yeah, I can just show up here whenever.
Yeah. Facebook is blinging all day long.
Hey, I turned off those notifications for that group.
Oh, okay.
I tried to, and like it just keeps on pushing through to my phone.
So, oh, okay,
like, there's
yeah.
There's always one.
I enjoy when I have the iPad here in my bag, so it's computer, phone, iPad. Bing, boom, boom.
Ooh. I completely turned them off on everything when they first came up, because I was like, yeah, I know this is a bad idea, because I got like 100 people on my Facebook, and I doubt all 100 of them are going to chat with me, but...
Here's the thing, like, I tried to shut everything down, but, like, the only thing that shows up is the forum posts. I don't understand it.
Yeah. Well, there was a book that I was wanting to talk about that I've read. I don't know, I've been reading a lot of older stuff lately.
Yeah.
I just picked up Frank Miller, Chris Claremont, Wolverine.
Oh, nice.
And I said I'm going to... That's what I've been trying to read, a little bit of X-Men, because I grew up in the 90s, so I had I always watched the cartoon, but I had to jump into some of the books. So I've been jumping into some of the X-Men, and I asked Nick, actually, what I should jump into. He gave me a few books that I should, you know, read, and they're on their way. And
that's where Nick thrives.
Oh.
If you didn't see that call,
just buy Evolutionary War, the Omnibus.
Oh, Lord. It's got to be good, right?
There's an Omnibus out of it. He was disgusted about it. I think you need to...
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Disgusted about what? That I had the Omnibus?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was angry.
I didn't pause. Well, it's because I order everything.
And it's heavy. If he threw it at you, it would hurt.
Fair enough. That's one of the things I love about Marvel and DC. The Absolute Edition, you could probably cause some damage with any Absolute Edition that would happen.
It's protection.
What I see in the new...
And previews, it's readable.
There's a Man-Thing Omnibus, and I'm sitting here going... Lord. $125. It's going to be cool. I'm probably going to get one for myself, but... Yeah, I mean...
Were people clamoring for this? Or, like, what came out this week, the Crossing Omnibus. I'm like...
I didn't... Ooh. You know what? I didn't know as many people read the Crossing as apparently there is. Like...
As a fan base.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Marvel just seems to bring out, like, whatever.
But that's just such a weird old... I mean, that was pre-Heroes Reborn... They didn't know what they were doing kind of thing, so to,
Well,
somebody will buy it.
Steve Gerber's been getting some press, so that's...
Yeah, but he's dead.
Yeah.
You know, but he's got that new Man-Thing book coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Now, weren't you saying something about the prices? You were going to talk about that at the last podcast.
Talking about before. Well, Rich Johnson on Bleeding Cool had made a comment that, is Marvel now pricing themselves for Amazon rather than pricing themselves for the store? Because most of their hardcovers are like 4 issues for $20, so it's making it a $5 book.
Yeah.
So, and it's, so it doesn't work at $19.99, but it makes more sense at $14.99 if Amazon takes 25% off. Well, it's like, well, that's great, but I'm not Amazon. I can't afford to deep discount every book just because you decide to give it a high price. I buy based on cover price. I get my discount off of that.
Yeah.
So, by them raising their prices, I'm paying more. I don't
understand why so many people are trying to, like, get away from the comic book store. Like, Free Comic Book Day, you just had that. That brought in, like, so many people for business.
Yeah.
Why in the world, if you didn't do that, and you just did it through Amazon, what were you going to do Free Comic Book Day?
Right.
You don't have that stuff if you don't
Well, I mean, I don't know if Marvel looks at it as a big thing. You know, not to single out Marvel, but the publisher's view is that that's a day for us where we get more people in. You know, it's costing them money, it costs me money, but they don't see a direct impact, whereas I do. But I don't know. I don't know if that's true, though.
It's become more, and I don't know if I'm just saying things, but it's become more of a thing for
indie publishers has always been a thing for indie publishers. Free comic book day has been huge.
Right, because they can get their stuff out there. Yeah. It's seen by people that would never see it. But then you look at something like what DC, you know, here I am, my DC apologist. But the DC New 52 was all new story, the origin of Pandora, giving previews for stuff.
Well, Marvel, I said that at the podcast, our last podcast, that they... It's basically, I'm pretty sure, that new 52 book is what Free Comic Book Day book should be.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a preview, they were something new to read, you know, but like even...
New story that you wanted to go to the store to get, but, and they've done that for the last couple of years. I remember a couple of years ago it was Blackest Night Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Then we had, there was that other one, I think it was a 50 cent book that everybody gave away, but it was leading into the post... I don't know, it was something... Yeah. Oh, post-Final Crisis, DC. So they do stuff like that, and then Marvel, we get a reprint of Avengers 12.1, which came out a year ago.
Which I get why they bring out Avengers, and I remember Brian Michael Bendis was such a big fan, was so happy about them bringing that out. I remember on Twitter, I was posting, I was like, and I said, I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast yet, that I asked him, I was like, you know, why are we getting this? I just read this. And he's like, you're complaining about something that's free? I'm like, yeah, but this defeats the purpose.
It really
does.
What
you get for Free Comic Book Day. I mean, a lot of your people coming in are coming in for something.
And not even that, if you're going to do something, give it something. Like, they also gave away that Avengers 1.
Yeah.
Which I can use that to sell the first trade of Avengers. Hasn't worked yet. But giving away a book that, I don't even know when they're going to do that Ultron story, because it has to be after AVX.
Yeah.
So we're at least, you know, 4 or 5 months away from that. So give something that somebody can say, hey, I like this. What do you have?
Even DC's All Ages books, All Ages Free Comic Book Day book, was new. Like, it was the Green Lantern book, and on the other side was the Superman Family book.
The one that killed it, though, I don't know if it worked well for you guys, but it worked well for where I went.
That's okay.
In the city. The Atomic Robo.
What?
The Atomic Robo book.
Yeah.
The Atomic Robo book was, and they've always done this with Free Comic
and it's always helped their sales.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean.
Or even Oni. Oni, like, I think it was Bad Medicine this time. It's not huge. I think last year was Spontaneous, and it doesn't sell a ton of books, but it's basically they give you the first issue.
Yeah.
Which is, a promotional tool. You know, look at the Archaea book. That's going to be... I can't wait for Cursed Pirate Girl to come out, because I think I'm going to sell a bunch of them.
Yeah. The new 52 book, though, it was like... It was good for both worlds that you have. You got you're trying to keep your existing readers, and you're trying to bring in new readers. And with the preview guide, you can bring in new readers, because they can see what's coming new that they can jump into.
Yeah.
And then with your old readers, you had a brand new story in there that exists with what they're reading. Plus, if you're a new reader, you could have read that and been fine with it. It could have got you into what's going to happen. So I thought it was just a win all the way.
Yeah.
Now, Buffy, on the other hand, that was a horrible... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sadly, most of these I was reading solely looking for... Like, when I grade them GPG, PG-13, and R, I'm looking for violence, I'm looking for blood, I'm looking for language. There were two of them had swear words in them. Thanks, guys. So I'm not really reading for content. Buffy, I kind of just flipped through, assuming they weren't going
to... They tied it with the alien.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which would, odd. You know, I probably put that like PG-13 or PG just because of the subject matter, but... Dark Horse, I think I can trust. The Star Wars one, I enjoyed that.
I didn't read the Star Wars. Oh, yeah. With Han and Chewie, and that was pretty good.
Flip books are tough, too, for display purposes.
Yeah.
Because you want people to know that it's a flip book, but you don't want to have one stack one way, one the other way, because people will grab two.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a, which side do I put up to move these?
Yeah. And if they would, the only problem I had with the flip books that you saw when I was watching what you were doing with the tables, the Smurfs issue? The Smurfs book on the
Smurfs
back had
Tinkerbell.
And the thing about it was...
Kind of two different
markets.
It's
two different markets.
Well, then you had Peanuts and Adventure Time.
Yeah.
You know, what side do I put up for that? Because there's going to be people wanting Peanuts, but Adventure Time is super hot right now.
Yeah, how was that Adventure Time one?
It was good. Yeah. Actually, I thought it was one of those really good idea books that... like DC had with New 52, that it could get new people, or it can get people that are already reading it, because it, in a way, it continued on to their first issue.
Okay.
which might not be a good idea because that thing sells out. Like, the first issue of Adventure Time sells out pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, but they've been putting out variants for...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have all the issues coming in, or maybe not three. I think I have one and two coming back in, like, fourth and third prints.
Yeah. But it was, it kind of continued on with the... And then the... What they had, they've had a beginning story that continued on to the first issue.
Okay.
And then the other two were the short stories that they have at the ends of the actual books.
Oh, yeah?
So they've already, they reprinted those in that book.
That's a book that I'm super excited about every month. Yeah. Like, I
it's just a fun read.
It is.
It's really fun.
And, like, the people they've been getting for the back matter stuff is ridiculous. Like, they're supposed to have Paul Pope in, like, maybe a month or a month or two.
Yeah.
Just Michael DeForge and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's just really neat.
Yeah.
The last one had a story about, what's her name, Lumpy Space Princess.
Oh, yeah.
And the art was very, like, crayon-y. And I love it when they use crayons for stuff sometimes because it helps if it works with the story.
Yeah, exactly.
And it does with this. It was supposed to be kind of a childish type kind of look.
Is that how you do
it.
Your work?
Yeah.
Crayons?
I use crayons. Depending on what the ad is.
I try to, but I don't know.
Depends on how you do it.
Exactly.
You're just not creative enough, Colin.
I'm sorry.
You can leave now. But yeah, there were. I don't know. I was a little disappointed in some of the Free Comic Book Day books, but I think New 52 really showed it here because it left the tables pretty quick. How many did you say you had? I thought you said you had like 200.
Oh, two. Yeah, and I had to get more in.
And you had to get new. So
that's good.
That was a. And frankly, you're running low right now on those. So once they're gone, they're gone.
You know what? But it's the beauty of DC. I'll order more.
No, that's it.
I did. I thank Stuart from DC. For having more available, because I said, I don't want to say underordered. I think 200 of anything to give away is fine, especially when they cost me about 30 cents
and
a piece.
I'm sure he's thinking it out, too, that it's a part of, you know, their big thing that's coming up, and he's going to market it to how many people.
Well, and part of the thing, too, is I don't know what it... we don't know what they are before they come, and when you see new DC New 52, I didn't know if it was just going to be, you know, reprints.
Yeah. And it was, I was actually thinking they'd have new previews, like, for their new wave. Not this one that just came out, but, like, a new wave of books. But I didn't expect that, too, because they haven't mentioned anything about anything new.
Yeah, they're working on a third wave. I know they are.
Yeah.
It's just,
are they going to continue calling it New 52, or are they going to keep that number? You think?
I don't know. Honestly, I have no clue. I'm really sad about the fact that I had to cut back on my new 52 books, but I think what they have going now is pretty great. I haven't read Earth 2 yet or anything.
That was
like
good.
That. Okay.
Yeah, that's
because that was the one that was I was really sort of on the wire for.
Yeah, it's just one of those books that I was kind of too. I was like, I don't know, like how I feel about. But it was a really good book and full of surprises and things you wouldn't have expected. And it makes it kind of interesting because they can do whatever they want with theirs.
Oh, yeah, no, of course.
And that's what's so cool about it because it's like, it's going to be new to people.
Yeah.
So, and then what ties with that is World's Finest, which is about the Robin and Supergirl of Earth 2.
Yeah, so Huntress and
getting stuck in Earth 1.
Oh.
And trying to get back to Earth 2. And then since that Earth 1 already has a Robin and a Supergirl, they took on the names Huntress and Power Girl.
Okay.
So that's kind of where that is. Now, I didn't read it. I'm just going about what I've heard and stuff like that. But people have said they liked that. I'm not too sure. I was never really big Huntress and Power Girl fan.
I was pretty big on Power Girl, but honestly, like, it's been a thing where I've been trying to keep up with everything and things have been knocking me over. But generally from what you've described and what I've already heard already, I really dig the World's Finest. I'm probably going to end up picking it up from here.
It's just kind of different. It's even from what we've seen in New 52, it's different. Yeah. So I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Dial H was just a good book.
Yeah, Dial H I've heard a lot of good things about. I really liked the old Will Pfeiffer Kano series, I was kind of hoping for that a little bit more, but...
This series is a little more darker.
Okay.
It's this guy, he's, you know, he's very, very overweight, you know, he's had a heart attack. Yeah. He was getting into a fight with a friend, and when the friend leaves, this gang comes up and tries to beat him up.
Yeah.
And the guy chases him out there, the overweight guy, and he gets in the telephone booth, and he accidentally dials Hero.
Oh, nice.
And turns into Boy Chimney, which is a, you know, basically uses smoke and all sorts of stuff to fight his. And what was the other character Dial H turned into?
Well, there was Laconic Man or whatever, the guy just that made everybody depresses people. Brought out their most depressing memory.
Yeah, and it was just different. I liked that from anything that I've read. So
yeah, definitely different.
I love the stuff that comes out now that's new and different. I mean, it's really hard to kind of break the mold there.
I love the variety.
Yeah.
Especially in New 52. If I could get that from Marvel, that would be
great. That's my single favorite thing about the DC, the New 52, is the variety.
Yeah.
I mean, Marvel's kind of, I don't know, they're kind of working themselves into a corner a little bit.
I think they are, and I think a lot of these books that they have, they just have too many of the same character. And it's just like, that's not variety, you know? How many X-Men books do they have? How many, you know, Captain America books do we need? How many of this that we don't, you know, you're just rehashing the same things and people notice that.
Yeah, the one book that I actually get from Marvel is the Thunderbolts. And that's actually been consistently good, consistently great. And then, like, I hear internet rumors about, oh, yeah, well, now there's a Savage 6 coming out. It's basically the same concept. I'm like, why? Why would you do that?
Well, I know they're turning into Dark Avengers.
Yeah, Dark Avengers is becoming. Now, are they going to keep that as the name, or is it going to be called Thunderbolts?
I think it's going to be Dark Avengers. Just
because
the
book has, did you see the preview for it in the books? Thunderbolts.
Okay, but I was just reading the solicit last night in the new previews, and was talking about the Dark Avengers, and then also the time traveling. Thunderbolts. So I don't know if it's going to have both stories.
Huh. It might have both stories concurrent. Yeah. That's something that Jeff Parker would probably do.
You know, it's interesting, though, this new team of, they're not really all villains, if you think about it. I mean, Scar, what is his name, Scar?
Yeah, he's not really.
He's not really a villain. Who's the other one in it?
Well, is he one of the Dark, because he kind of rebelled against the Dark Avengers, so that would be weird for him to be on the team.
Well, this is Cap's own, like, I think this is his, like.
I'm confused.
I'm not positive either, but that's who they put on the cover. And I thought maybe he was going to, like, lead it or something because he's front and center. Hmm. And he's the only... And then that's Spider-Man one who's who's the big spider from the Osborne miniseries.
Right. Nobody read. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much
that wasn't actually a bad book. I read that book.
Well, I think it was Matt was saying how the Ultron storyline was preluded in the Moon Knight issue. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And I looked. It's selling, like, 15,000 copies. I'm like, if that's where you're... You know, your big beginning Avengers event is starting it in a book that, you know.
Then that's pretty sad.
I think we have, the second hardcover comes out next week. We haven't even seen the trade of the first one yet.
Is that the Hudson?
No, that's a new Bendis. Bendis and Malev have done one for a year that nobody.
That book was terrible. I'm sorry.
I'm a Moon Knight fan, but they've just been killing it. That's three different failed series since I've been open. It's only 5 years.
But here's the thing: like I like the Hudson, and I like the bridge that they did with when they just started making it a team up book. Like they threw him in a Marvel team up, and then
why can't they make these characters that like don't do well in other books or don't do well with ongoing series? Why don't they just bring them out as miniseries like every other year or something?
Because I think a Moon Knight miniseries would sell even worse than a failed Moon Knight ongoing.
Honestly, Moon Knight's one of those characters where if you throw a light on him from a certain angle, he's amazing. But Bendis doesn't do that.
You know what's cool? I liked him in Secret Avengers. Yeah. I thought that was a good idea for Moon Knight to be on the Secret Avengers.
It was neat, but it was totally wrong. Why do you have Moon Knight on something where you're going to the moon or the Mars or wherever the heck that story took place?
Well, that's true.
He totally didn't fit. You know, I remember Brubaker said he didn't understand him, so he...
Just tossed him
He kept getting knocked out off-panel. Oh. Same with, I think it was Valkyrie. Every time he turned around, they were really both knocked out. It's like... Why didn't you make the team?
Yeah. I like how they played it up. You know, before the heroic age was starting around Siege. Remember those silhouetted pages that were like, "Oh, who's this secret Avenger?"
Right.
And they played it up, and now that team doesn't even really exist.
Yeah,
well, Beast is still on it. Valkyrie.
Yeah, but is that supposed to be Beast? Because he sure didn't look like the Beast that I know in the last issue.
You have such issues with that, man. Yeah. You need to just relax.
Yeah. Well, when they turn him into a cat and then they bring him back and downgrade him back to...
Yeah.
Ape look.
Well, then they throw him, then they throw like Dark Beast in.
Yeah, so that's the problem. Is he supposed to be Dark Beast? That's how I tell if it's Dark Beast or not.
Did Dark Beast have the secondary mutation? I guess it would be a third mutation for the Beast, since his secondary mutation was kind of the blue.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I thought that's how you told him apart, like the
one was gray. Yeah.
But
I don't get that.
I want something to happen with Captain Britain. I'm just going to throw that out there. Just throw it out into the ether. Captain Britain, the MI-13.
I kind of got burned on Captain Britain only, or burned out or whatever, just on that X-Force run. I just felt so out of, I don't know what's going on. So nothing against the character. I liked him in that last Secret Avengers where he thought he was going to be the leader of the team and he wasn't.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of neat, but... They need to do something, I guess, or maybe it's just me, but I don't know enough about him to understand what his powers are, what all he does. If he's going to be showing up so much, a one-shot, you know, give me something.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why, but they just assume that everybody's read everything, and that's sort of a problem. Yeah. Like,
at the beginning of the NKX, where people were saying, oh, well, if you just read Excalibur, it's like, I never read Excalibur.
Yeah, you never read Excalibur, you never read Captain Britain, the MI-13, like, basically his powers are... fluctuating with how much confident he is. It doesn't...
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like one of those things.
Is it like magic-based?
Yeah.
Okay.
My main problem with the whole thing is that Marvel has too many fanboys.
Oh, yeah.
Running Marvel. And I think that's where they get their decisions from, is wouldn't it be cool if we saw this? You know, no.
It's...
You know, because that hurts the story. That's the problem with it. It's all a good mixture of the art and story. And when you do that with the story, it's just like... This doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, the only real writer that I like coming out of Marvel, well, writers are Jeff Barker and Matt Fraction. Matt Fraction's kind of waning on me a little bit, but
I think Fear itself might have hurt Matt Fraction a little bit.
Because he
swung for the fences.
He was amazing in that Iron Fist stuff.
How much of that was Brubaker? Because he was co-writing that with Brubaker.
Brubaker took off after the first trade.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Then then they entered the Seven Cities of Heaven stuff, and then that was all. I think that was all Fraction.
There was something of Matt Fraction's just recently that I was thinking of. Oh, he was writing X-Men for a while, since like 500 or something.
Yeah, when they skipped over to San Francisco.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad of stuff.
Yeah, and then, he keeps on doing Casanova as well, and sort of...
Occasionally.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to see how well it is, though. How he does for an event, I guess, next week, right?
Yeah.
Is he doing ABX? Is he taking the next one?
I'm pretty sure it's Fraction.
Yeah, I think... Well, it wasn't... Yeah, he was supposed to take over that entire... Gosh, I blocked out of my head, but it was a major event last year.
Fear itself.
Yeah, Fear itself.
But yeah, this ABX has a bunch of, like, a rotating... writer.
Oh, okay. So it's one of those deals.
It's a little disjointed. But
you know what? My problem wasn't necessarily Fear itself, the book itself. It was everything that was surrounding it. Avengers, you know, it all went into Fear itself, and it was just like, this is... Yeah. But the book itself, it wasn't that bad of a story, I don't think. I mean, some parts were left out, like... You know, what happened? Did they actually kill the serpent? What happened? Was he blinded by a big flash of light that nobody saw, you know?
Yeah, it was
anything happen?
Like, all the outside stuff just sort of cluttered it up. Like, I mean, there were so many timelines going on, so many different times that you ended up not even really caring about the main book. It's just like, sort of, okay, well, here's what ties into this, 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 and this, this. I'm like,
Just, I don't know. But yeah. I want to see how... Because I've really actually been enjoying AVX. So.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the writing style, just because they have each different writers writing each issue of it, it jumps. It just feels like that. Mm-hmm. I really like the... what's his name? Jason Aaron. His writing on it. I just thought it was kind of a fun, you know... read, you know, with the little caption blocks everywhere that were saying, like, different
things. Well, that was an ABX versus.
Yeah, they had that, and then he did it in this one, too.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, he did. Like, he mentioned something like, this tooth broke out of this many teeth today, or something like that. Yeah, he did that through that whole issue. But yeah, no, it's fun. And the last issue of AVX was really good.
Number four next week?
Yeah. I like how they put, and I may have already talked about this in the last podcast, but I just really like how they went in the direction I thought they would do with Wolverine. Everybody was like, well, which side Wolverine's going to be on? Well, at the beginning, I said Wolverine, he wouldn't be on anybody's side because he has his own plan on this. Yeah. That's just Wolverine. He's not going to fight a war. And that's exactly what he did. And who was it? Were you talking about that last week where somebody said that why all of a sudden did Cap – somebody was telling me that. Why all of a sudden did Cap decide right then? Why did he bring him all the way out to have him? And my reason for that was that he saw him go off onto his own and try to go after Hope. And I think that's what set it off. Where he was like, you know what, we tried it, it didn't work, we're going to throw you off in Antarctica. So, that is where he is. That's where the Savage Land is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Antarctica, it's like in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I don't have my map.
Yeah,
you don't have your map?
Okay. That's pretty much where, like it's at, it's like some location in Antarctica.
Yeah.
One of the caps.
There's always some hidden dinosaur city in comic books.
Oh, yeah, because in DC, it's in the Arctic, where the Warlord.
Yeah, it's Skitteris.
Yeah,
and then there's also Dinosaur Island, which I love. Yeah,
that has reappeared in GI Combat.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I really want to get I love war books. I really want to get into GI Combat and Men of War, but
I like Men of War. I didn't like GI Combat. I did like.
I have to get GI Combat. I don't really like JT Krull.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a big. That's a big
the backup, the Unknown Soldier, was by Palmiotti and Gray.
Yeah.
It actually was longer than the story was longer.
Was it good?
Yeah,
it, all right.
I thought it was good.
Next, I saw, I'm trying to think who did the character design on that. It was Dan Panosian. Yeah, and he posted up things on Twitter, and I make fun of things on Twitter. So I made fun of it, and it was just sort of... I'm like,
way to go. Now he's all mad at you. Congratulations.
I actually know him from back in the Savage Dragon forum days, so it's kind of...
Well, now he's...
Savage Dragon.
He's mad at him. Bendis is mad at me.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't have said that to him.
Yeah.
Enemy of the podcast.
Way to go. Pissing people off.
We are a group.
They should know. We're comic book fans. We get mad about stuff.
Yeah. Actually,
don't change that. Why doesn't anything ever change? Don't change it.
No.
Yeah.
I just want Adam. I want Adam Strange to be in something. Come on.
I want this book. I want this character. Oh, when it comes out, I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah,
though.
That's pretty much 100% like what I usually do. And I even read the Wednesday comic story with Paul Pope did about Adam Strange.
Okay.
Adam Savage, really? Think about MythBusters, but
He needs his own book. MythBusters.
I really did like that, and I don't know. I haven't put my head on straight to get Strange Adventures because it's like a $3.99 book. So,
The internet is fickle. It's a funny thing because people are bemoaning. Oh, we want Stephanie Brown Batgirl back. It's like, well, then maybe it should have sold more than like 18,000 copies that it was selling.
Exactly. I love the Wally West thing. Everybody, just wants Wally West.
Flash wasn't selling well. Ever since I've opened, Flash has been a nightmare. So
I actually really like what they've been doing Flash, but I also do. I mean, I like Jay Garrick. I like Wally West. I mean, just try to get Nick talking about Wally West because he loves talking about it. But
Wally West and Kyle Rayner.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, me, I'm more, hey, it's Jay Garrick and Ted Grant. Hooray. But
we still have all of the Green Lanterns, pretty much, except for Alan Scott. Scott?
Yeah. Weren't they bringing
He's going to be in Earth 2.
He's in Earth 2. Yeah.
I'm waiting to see. I don't know if they put... Did they throw Ted Grant in Earth 2 yet or no?
No, not yet. They had Al Pratt.
Oh, man.
But not Ted Grant.
That would be the worst parking job I've ever seen in
Target.
We were
looking
especially because it's a mini, which makes it even funnier.
We were looking at a mini that basically did it at a... That's not even a 45-degree angle. That's like a 25.
It's about a 30, yeah.
Yeah, they're coming here.
Yeah, just like jamming it in there. It's weird.
The other thing that's coming out is next week is Ends of Earth number one, which I'm not sure how well that...
What is it?
It's a... Basically, it's a time... I don't know why it exists, to tell you the truth.
Is it a Todd McFarlane book?
No, it's, okay. It's part of the Spider-Man story arc, but why didn't they just do an issue?
Yeah, and what it is, the last issue has...
I didn't read the last issue.
Well, I won't ruin anything for you besides
this.
Don't
worry about it. It's okay.
Yeah, we're all kind of good with that.
The last issue had the bunkers where Doc Ock was keeping like his satellites and stuff like that he's using to heat up. His threat is that he's going to cause global warming.
Oh.
And he's going to just
do what?
Burn the planet, basically.
Oh, okay.
He can either... He gave him an ultimatum. He said he can either save the planet with them by ending global warming, or he can destroy it. His reasoning behind that is that he wants, for his last thing, because he's dying, for his last thing, he wants to be able to save the world.
Oh, who's
but
that?
If they're not going to let him do it, he's just going to destroy it.
Oh, yeah, Doc Ock. Yeah. Yeah, Doc Ock's been dying for a while, hasn't he? He's been about 2 years.
This is supposed to be it. Yeah, he's
never, dragging it out, the guy.
I don't know. The last drawings of him, he's all just like, his face is a mess.
I remember they did that.
I don't know how he's still alive.
They did that with Iron Man. They did that in the Iron Man, Invincible Iron Man. I remember that. But
he was dying for quite some time.
Yeah, but that's a weird angle to take a book.
Yeah.
But I can see Colin's argument with it. Why wouldn't it just be a part of the Spider-Man?
Because it makes it hard because you have the people, as much as they don't want to believe it, not everybody gets the annuals.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so I had to look at that and go, okay, I'm selling this many Spider-Mans, but how many how many of these guys are going to want?
Well,
this book.
Basically,
so
what
even
this
point
book,
ones, I have people put the point ones back. So,
basically, what this book is supposed to be is in the last book, he calls upon the Avengers are captured. Everybody else, for some reason, is off planet. I don't really understand
the
X-Men. Oh, okay. Maybe that's it. Well, no, then Spider-Man's where he should be fighting the X-Men with the Avengers. But anyways, the Avengers have been captured too. The ones that were there.
Right. I remember
so he
that.
Calls upon like different teams. There's one in Japan. There's
Big Hero 6.
Titanium Man.
Oh.
He's the one who told him about, hey, Doc Ock tried to call me, and he snitched on him. Yeah. And basically, this book is about what they do to stop this. So it's not really needed, to tell you the truth, but yeah. I'm going to get it just to see what it is.
Now that you've mentioned Big Hero 6, I kind of feel the need to be a part of this. I love Big Hero 6. I'm just going to... Yeah, Big Hero 6. Anyway,
sorry. It's my daughter.
They're having a...
Yeah, they were having a...
Sign fight.
I'm telling her to get in the car.
They were having a silent
get
war.
The car,
my ride
daughter.
Is here, so...
A silent war. All right, so your ride is here. Is that what's happening? Or,
Can wrap it up.
All right.
I'm sorry, Adam.
You and your closing of your store at 7.
Know.
Come on,
I'm sorry.
Man.
Well, it is. It's 7 after.
And your daughter's bossing you around.
Yeah, she's all excited. We're going to get her something. So.
That's fun.
Nice. That's fun.
Well, then that's it.
That's it. Thanks for coming.
All right.
I will turn this microphone
off. Okay, you turn that off. I'm going to go.
All right, everybody. Thanks.
Beep-de-boop.
See you next week.
See
maybe. Hop on, everybody wants
Nerd.